Yeah, Rob wants to talk about heating up, but I mean, really, we're okay with that 90 thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's okay, considering what we've had. But, yeah, if you haven't been outside, just...
Yeah, before the sun comes up, you know, get out there and just...
Go running and
go
screaming and go, hey, look at this. Wow, this is really something.
That's right.
Yeah.
Go ahead and fire up the lawnmower right now.
Yeah.
My God, that's an ugly helmet.
Yeah, we told you.
We weren't a joshing.
So they're supposed to look like turtles, is that it?
I guess so. I don't know. What's the stripes?
The stripe in the middle is as Chase said, that's taking a slice out of the Maryland flag, but yeah, they're describing this as the new turtle themed helmet.
Oh, okay. No, they didn't wear those last night.
They had a special helmet that they wore.
Yeah, it was half stripes and half state flag.
Oh, I see.
The one they wore last night.
Okay, all right. Well, then,
yeah,
I'm
you gotta keep looking.
Then this is another ugly helmet.
Exactly.
That I guess they're gonna have them wear.
Right.
So what is it because of Oregon? Is it because Oregon did this that they've got so many different looks?
Well, the Maryland is an Under Armour school, and the chairman, I believe, or the founder perhaps of Under Armour is a Maryland graduate.
Oh, I thought he was just a whack job.
It's very much like the Oregon situation with Phil Knight at Nike.
Okay. All right, because Texas Tech was the only other Under Armour school I could think of, right?
Auburn.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I saw one post last night that said, the 1970 Houston Astros say that that's the ugliest uniform that they've ever seen.
Was the Astros when they did the shades of orange?
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, who else did that was North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
They did it in shades of blue. It looked much nicer.
Right.
They went from a dark blue, and they finished with a Carolina blue at the bottom.
Yeah, a little powder blue.
They call it Carolina blue.
I know they do. I can't hear it.
Powder blue is for sissies.
Yeah, that's right.
I believe the correct term is Columbia blue because it started with Columbia University.
Right.
That's what the Oilers had was Columbia blue.
Yeah. So that was a much easier on the eye type uniform. The Astros was just
mm-hmm.
ugly. So let me see. They Congress comes back. They'll be back tomorrow, maybe today, I guess. So
when the governor asks the president to declare a state of emergency in the state of Texas, wouldn't you like to listen in on that conversation?
Yep.
Texas, where's that?
Right. Now, it's interesting because, one of the fights, one of the things that was talked about in the background of the rainy day fund was that the governor wanted to hold on to that. Because he wasn't sure that money would be forthcoming from Washington, D.C. if a hurricane hit Texas. And obviously at that point they were not thinking that, in fact, a weather system to the east of Texas was going to cause wildfires like this. But, the rainy day fund is for emergencies, and you're exactly right. I would say that the president is pretty well boxed in on this because we already had an area that, just, oh, by the way, is larger than the state of Connecticut that has burned in Texas while the president has decided, I don't know if we need to declare a disaster area.
Yeah, we just had that hurricane.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know, 475 is what I heard on the home count yesterday. I don't know if that's been updated or not. But you had 475 there. Over in Flynn, we had several dozen homes that were destroyed. I mean, there's serious fire everywhere, and mm-hmm. we're not done. I mean, we're obviously not done.
Not unless we get some rain, and there's none in the forecast.
Yeah, and you're right. That would be an interesting conversation to listen in on, because my thought would be if it were Michigan, it would have already been done.
Mm-hmm.
It would be with light speed that would have been done. So maybe playing a little bit of politics. And As we get prepared, I mean, we're going to get ramped up and going at full speed ahead, I'm sure, today, because I guess you heard the quote yesterday from his name's James Hoffa, Jimmy Hoffa, James T. Hoffa, I believe is his name.
Yeah, that's Jimmy's boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jimmy doesn't look like Jimmy. Which is probably
best for him. Might have helped out his social life.
Yeah,
that's right.
Because Jimmy was not a pretty man.
No, he wasn't.
No, he was.
He looked a lot like Jack Nicholson. Jack played him in the movies.
That's right.
But basically, again, and I'm sorry if you're offended, but he said, President Obama, this is your army. We're ready to march, and let's get these sons of bitches out and give America back to an America where we belong. Really? You're going to say that? So I'd say that ramps things up a little bit. And then later
on... Who's he talking about getting out?
Well,
the Democrats have been in control of two-thirds of the government for what, 6 years now?
Yeah, that's
right. Well, 4 years anyway.
Well, he's speaking about the Tea Party. He needs to get them out of there. That's what...
What has the Tea Party accomplished other than mobilizing people?
Well,
what have they done that's policy wise? And I'm not. This is not casting aspersions at the Tea Party. It's legitimately what have they done policy wise? What laws have been passed that are causing? I mean, once again, we start getting into hyperbole.
Sure.
And it's no wonder that the political process just turns off so many people because of just asinine statements like that from someone who says, you know, let's get these people out of here. So what have they done from a legislative standpoint to warrant getting them out of there, sir?
Right. And who are you going to put in their place that will do what?
Well, they're going to put somebody in their place that will continue to fleece the middle class and will continue to tax people into the grave and give money to people who don't deserve it.
And hearing people talk yesterday from leaving the rally, well, you know, I haven't had a raise in such and such and such. Hey, pal. Hey. You got a job. Go sit down, shut up. No, actually, go do your job first. And, you know, again, I lived for a period of my life in a strong union area, and it's different. I mean, it's really, really different. But you have to understand that, and to say that if you don't have a college degree, that mold in America has now been cast, that somehow you're outside the mainstream if you don't have a college degree. Crafts are very important. There's no doubt crafts are important. But time and time again, the unions had to bring owners to the table. And by the way, there's a strike vote next week in the auto unions. Have had to bring management time and time to the table, and they would strike, and they were powerful, and as a result, the owners would have to give in to them. That's the reason we're in a situation where you have these medical care. That's why GM went broke, because of the unions. And next week, I mean, honest to goodness, yesterday, they had union people saying, we're gonna vote to strike. We're going to vote to strike next week. Really? Really? You're going to vote to strike next week? Okay, well, good luck with that. And let's see how that works out for you. But it is. It's this idea that these folks get together, this rabble get together, and they stoke one another's fires, and that's the reason that Hoffa said something that was really unfortunate. And as you say, if you go back and look at the statement itself, it makes no sense. Who are you talking about? And then did you see what Joe did?
Oh, what'd he do now?
at the same wing-ding, okay?
Uh-huh.
He says, you are the ones who are keeping the barbarians from the gates. Really? Barbarians. Did you boys know you're barbarians?
Well, I've been called worse.
Yeah, no kidding.
I understand. I mean, do you have your sword
actually,
in your...
It's actually probably the most, you know, most syllables ever used to cut me down.
Yeah,
so.
He said, you are the only folks keeping the barbarians from the gates. That was at a crowd in Cincinnati that Joe Biden said that. So I got to believe that Rush will be all over this. Hannity will be on it, and I'm sure Bortz will too. But those will be your two money quotes today after all that happened. And, you know, they were trying... They're trying to kind of poke Perry a little bit about leaving and not going to the Jim DeMint soiree that they had in South Carolina. DeMint had said, you know, I'll let you speak first so you can go ahead and get on the plane and head back. And Perry may be dodging it, but, you know, had he not come back, he would have certainly gotten a whole lot of flack from the other side as well.
Yeah, I think you can't blame him for...
No, he did the right thing. He did the right thing in coming back because... And, you know, what's interesting is the combination of wildfires and houses. That's what, I mean, even in California, I don't know that I can remember where they'd lose 475 houses. I mean, this struck at a fairly densely populated area in Texas, and it's been pretty devastating. Obviously, it's an area that we're fairly familiar with because we travel 21 and go through Bastrop and
exactly.
That area there. And, again, that's just, and I... The speed that it happened, I mean, unbelievable that this stuff happened in 24 hours, basically. And we're, as you said, we're not done, Chase, because we don't have any rain in the forecast. And we had a fire here, as you know, I mean, literally across the parking lot from the radio station. And as best I can tell, unless new information's come out, that was a branch that fell down, that downed a wire that hit the ground, and the wind sped it up. So it wasn't a cigarette butt or anything. It was a circumstance.
And that's the thinking on the fire in Flint as well.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Just,
wow.
You know, a circumstance of just the world that we live in right now, and because it is a perfect storm for that kind of thing. So, again.
And, just in case you choose to participate, just saw this come across, Briarcrest Cleaners, that there are three locations that are taking water and Gatorade donations for firefighters.
Oh, so. Good. Well, great idea. And, again, it's great that we're having a break in the weather because, obviously, the job that they do is spectacular. I know they've got some federal folks who are coming in to Bastrop today, and we have to be on high alert, obviously, all over the state.
And what was problematic for the folks in Leon County was because that was a much smaller fire compared to Bastrop, Texas Forest Service pulled their resources from Leon County and sent them to Bastrop.
Oh, wow, that is unfortunate.
So,
yes.
You know, that you look at it from a black and white number standpoint, perhaps you can see the logic, but when that's your home that's about to go up, then you don't see the logic in that.
Right. Well, that's logistics right there.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We're fighting a war on several fronts, I'd say.
Do y'all have an idea or a grip on exactly where the fires are in Bastrop? Because like you said, Scott, we're all familiar with, you know, you go in on 21, you take the left, you take the right, you go through Bastrop and all that.
Largely,
where would you see the fires?
Largely west.
West of Bastrop?
Largely west of Bastrop.
So like on towards the airport? Towards the Austin airport?
Possibly, yes. But also then back toward Page, which is there on 290 between Giddings and the Bastrop Cut.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
Yep. So we'll keep you posted on that as there's more information, because I'm sure there will be once the sun gets up as well. All right, 6:48 right now.